Hey everyone, it's Tuesday, and you know what that means. A new episode of Shooting a Shiznit. Live, that's right, from STS Studios in St. Louis, Missouri. This is the best little wrestling podcast in the business. That's right. Hey, a big reminder here, Cool Kids Countdown. That's right, we got the Cool Kids Countdown coming this Thursday. Me and my co-host Lance Levine will be giving you the 10 things we love. That's right, the 10 things that we love about wrestling. I just want to remind everyone, you can go to paypal.com. I appreciate everyone that has given us a donation. It's Brian_Tramiel, T-R-A-M-E-L, at yahoo.com. We also want you to go to the website, www.stspod.club, not .com. You can get the T-shirt of the month. You can get Amazon Music Unlimited, and we get a kickback. The Patreon site is on there. You can donate there, become a Patreon. You can listen to us on iTunes. You can listen to us on Stitcher, SoundCloud. If you are on Twitter, go to @comicbookmarkbt. You will also find out the Monday before the Tuesday, who's going to be the guest. So that's a fun part about Twitter. We also post all the episodes up there, even do a top five every Sunday, the top five episodes, and you'll see how each one of these is doing on downloads. And speaking of downloads, I want to thank everyone. This looks like it's going to top last month's downloads. And going into, we got three more episodes, possibly four, before the end of the month, and it looks like we're going to break the record again. I do thank everyone for downloading. I want to say a special hello to my old-time friend, my old buddy, Stacy Jane. Hey, I'm glad you're listening. You was always a part of Wrestling Riot, and I appreciate you listening. Also, we want to put over our Podcast Bros Suplex City Limits Creative Control. You can get that John Bullied Me shirt still with Creative Control. Also, Local to Legends Wrestling Radio. That's with my buddy Gene Jackson and Neil Taylor. So that's our podcast. We'll be plugging, and they help us out too. So we do appreciate it. All right, guys. I'm just going to quit talking right here because it's time for the new episode. Hey, it's Shooting a Shiznit, and I'm bringing on my guest. Today's guest is Dave Prazak. How's it going, Dave?
What's going on, man? It's definitely going.
I don't know had a lot of excitement there in the last few. A lot of excitement there in the last few days in Chicago, huh?
Yeah, I wasn't around for any of it because I was sick of wrestling this past weekend, so I didn't even. I stayed home. I was not at Evolve. I did not go to NXT or the pay per view. I went to nothing. So, yeah.
Well, hey, occasionally we do need that rest.
I go through phases of enjoying pro wrestling. Typically it's if I'm watching something that's about 15 to 20 years old or more, and times where I just completely hate wrestling and I just turn off my phone for 3 days and don't talk to anybody.
This was 3 days. Wow. Yeah, I can't do that. I think it's got bad a couple of times in my life where I've just, said the fuck with it, and we're not gonna watch wrestling anymore. But it seems it's one of those things where it's like you're in the mafia, you know. I remember, I'm gonna tell a quick story, but here I was not in wrestling anymore, and got a call from Heyman, which you'll understand why. Heyman will call you at 2:30 in the morning, and says to me, "Do you have that videotape of Ultimate Warrior throwing up?" And I said, "No, but I might have somebody that does. Man, find it, and find it right now." And so we found the videotape, had it shipped on an airplane to him so he could get it the next day. Apparently he'd had a rib he was playing on Hell Week, so I have no idea what that was all about. But And now this is when I had quit the business, didn't say anything to anyone in the business, and I was married for like 8 years, and I get that call at 2:30 in the morning. My wife's like, who the hell was that?
Well, anybody who's been in wrestling in any form realizes that wrestling hours are different than normal business hours. The wrestling business opens at about 11 p.m., and it stays open until probably 6 a.m. So,
I know
hours,
everyone.
You know?
Yeah, almost everyone does that. That I record for. They say, I say,
yes.
Well, can you do it in the mornings? Because I don't work in my shoot job in the mornings, and then, or do you want to do it after 10 p.m.? And you, like everyone else, says 10 p.m.
Yeah.
So
that's
I'm
hours,
pretty.
Man.
Yeah, you're right. We're pretty relaxed here. I don't do – that's why I've got – we call it shooting a shiznit, and we just sit back and talk shit for 30 minutes. But I got some questions I really – I don't usually do a lot of write down a bunch of questions, but there's some things that I – me and you have kind of knew each other and know each other for years. Before we get
kinda
into
sorta.
Any of that – yeah, kind of, sort of – I want you to plug all your shit first. So plug all your websites, Twitter, everything first, and we'll get that out of the way.
Okay. Shimmer, the women's wrestling promotion that I've run for the past 12 years. ShimmerWrestling.com is the website. All my DVDs are up there. Tickets for the upcoming events, which are July 8th and 9th in Berwyn, Illinois, just outside Chicago. The Shimmer Twitter is Shimmer Women. I believe it is Shimmer Wrestling on Facebook. Just do a search for Shimmer on Facebook. We have a Facebook group, Shimmer Women Athlete Fans, and just a regular page for it. And my Twitter is just Dave Prazak, and that pretty much covers all plugs.
Awesome. So, you know, my first question is, and I know the answer to this, but why, you know, you said we've been doing this for 12 years, right? Is that what you've been there for 12 years? And what
for
made
Shimmer,
you say,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, what made you guys say, okay, we're not going to promote, we're just going to promote all girls? I mean, you know, me, that'd be my, you know, that'd be my dream, just to have girls around me all the time. So, but, you know, that's part, that wouldn't hurt my feelings any, but you did start this or work with Danger, right? That's
yeah.
Carino's sister, right? Am I right about that?
Yes, that is correct. Basically, I was kind of helping Ian Rotten book IWA Mid-South during the years before, right before Shimmer started, and I had started working for Ring of Honor as an announcer, and we were heavily involved in the process of going to record, to do the production on the DVDs for the ROH stuff in Florida. We do the commentary and post-production, and just nobody was doing a women's wrestling DVD series. This was at the time where DVDs were like the best thing ever, like 2005-ish era, where everybody was buying DVDs. So we were just like, nobody's doing it. I was helping Ian with his women's division mainly. I mean, regular IWA shows too, but like more, I was focused on the women's division because I was a manager and I had worked a lot with female wrestlers who were booked as valets on shows, and we, you know, to each other or whatever. So, like, I was always pushing for the females on the indie shows to get booked in matches instead of just managing people. So I guess that's kind of why I sort of had an interest in women's wrestling and kind of knew more than maybe Ian did or some other promoters in the area did, because I was paying more attention to what, you know, people I was working with were doing on other shows. So, and Alta Danger was working with me in ROH. She was a manager in ROH at the time and sometimes wrestler. But, I mean, they were only getting, like, 3 or 4 minute matches on ROH shows, so it wasn't anything to write home about in terms of women's wrestling on ROH at the time. So we were just, you know, we were both, you know, excited to try something new. And if you're going to promote independent wrestling on, and, you know, you need to have something unique to bring to the table rather than just be another of the hundreds of the kind of promotions around the world. Yeah, it is. I actually tried to make a list on Twitter of all wrestling promotions, and I think it's around 450 right now. And these are all wrestling promotions around the world. Yeah, so, I mean, it literally is hundreds. There's so many little ones that nobody's ever heard of. But, like, if you're going to start something, you need to be there needs to be something that really sets your company apart from all the others. So, like, to just do another independent show using the same guys that work everywhere else that's just like a carbon copy of what you're already seeing, what's the point in going through all the trouble and aggravation of running shows if it's just going to be forgotten about because it's too close to what somebody else is doing? So something new, I was interested in it. You know, I was friends with Lacey and Rain pretty closely as well at the time. So we're just like, let's all get together and just try to do this, do a women's promotion, have Ring of Honor distribute the DVDs and see if it works. And it worked. So we kept doing it, and we've been doing it for 12 years now.
I just, I'm always amazed at, and it's, I don't know, people that make a living in the wrestling business that are not working for, you know, WWE or some of the bigger promotions.
Yeah.
I love the idea, and I've always been, here's how I support you, okay? I don't buy a lot of DVDs, but I promise you I've never downloaded a torrent of your DVDs. I know that's funny, but you're laughing, but it's true. For some reason, because you are part of Shimmer, I just can't do it. I'm just like, no, I've known of him, and I know he makes a living doing this. This is the way he makes money, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, and Tommy Dreamer's made me feel guilty, too. I can't do anything for Dreamer's been a really great guy.
I remember when he made a big deal about when he discovered one of the House of Hardcore shows up on a torrent site or whatever. But,
right.
Technology
so kinda,
is what it is. If it isn't somebody downloading a torrent now, I guess it's the same as, like, you know, 25 years ago where like one person would buy a copy of the official VHS tape and then they would trade it with 20 other people. Like, it helped back then that it only got in the hands of 20 other people because you actually had to physically sit there and copy the tape for several hours and then go to the post office to mail it. But now it's just that thousands of people could download it instantly, which is...
So, you know,
it's
not going to hurt your feelings, you know. I'll go ahead and start that. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I have, I feel that that's, you know, and that's one of my other questions, too. I mean, you got, and you kind of brought it up when you were talking about DVDs were so popular in 2005. And you guys seem to be one of, you and PWG seem to be the two promotions. I may be totally wrong, but that's, I mean, I do see some stuff that people are downloading and buying some promotions, but you two guys seem to really strive and keep continuously selling, you know, the DVD. Why do you think that you keep selling DVDs? Why do they keep buying? Is it because you've got such a hardcore, you know, audience there, but why are they continuously, you know, your business model is DVD and you seem to continuously doing that?
I think a lot of it is that we've been doing it for 12 years and we numbered the DVD series. Like, volume 1 was our first show.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do volume 92 through 95 coming up. So it's like, By the nature of things, if you followed us during the DVD heyday, you have a collection of DVDs on your shelf in numbered sequence that you've been collecting. So,
mm-hmm.
like, if you are a diehard fan of ours, you're not going to stop collecting. I mean, maybe some will and have stopped collecting, but it's like once you have a collection going and you've been doing it for 10, 11, 12 years, you're going to keep buying them. The reason that we do tapings, like we do it, several days of taping in one weekend is to get the most out of airfare for, because like a lot of the talent is flown in. I'd say about 90% of them are outside of the Chicago area. So it's like, the only way that we can make this profitable is if we film several shows worth of content out of every plane ticket that we have to buy. So in order to do that, we couldn't just do everything as like a live streaming show because we'd have to do like 5 streaming shows in a span of 48 hours or whatever. And nobody's going to spend money on that, you know, the equivalent of buying 5 pay-per-views in one weekend. So we kind of to film it in the format that we do. Otherwise, if we didn't do it that way, we would have to have shows with a much smaller talent roster, spending less on, you know. And, I mean, we want to put together the shows we want with the roster that we want, and so this is the way that we have to do it. And, it's the way we've been doing it. And I know that technology is changing and everything, but as of right now, and I did have a little bit of an inquiry from one of the companies that does the live streaming model and everything, wanting to include us, and it's just like, for the kind of money that they're offering to do that, we are making literally 8 times that amount per show by selling a DVD.
Oh, wow.
So, like, in order for us to agree to lose that much money, like, there's no way. There's no way. We would go out of business immediately if we went to that model. Like, we have to sell DVDs. So it's like, until the company comes along that is willing to pay us the equivalent of 8 times, you know, of at least the exact same amount that I know for a fact I will eventually be making on the DVD of that show, why would I switch models and settle for, I mean, that would be insane. So, I mean, it might
right.
work for some companies that have small budgets, or if there's a company that's paying, like, a lot of money for every single show, and for companies that may have been able to do that, great. Good for them, but it wouldn't work for us.
Right, you're gonna have to. Well, you got an X amount of buttload of sales for your DVD. So, you know, like you said, you'd just be screwed.
And it's not
yourself.
All. I need to clarify even to our fan base that it's not like tons of profit. It's that like we have to sell like probably 4 or 5 times the amount that the streaming services are offering per show in order to break even on costs for that show. Like, I mean, we're talking $50,000 a week, and I need to recover
wow.
that somehow with a combination of ticket sales and video sales. And ticket sales
right.
only cover, I mean, if you do the math on a 250-seat venue with the ticket prices we have, ticket sales only covers a little bit less than half of that. So it's like we need to make that money on video sales or else we're dead. So we do what we do, and we've lasted this long. And, you know, maybe we'll have to change in the future if people completely stop buying DVDs, but we'll have to reevaluate that at that point. So,
have you guys went to Blu-ray? Have you seen – I knew some companies have done some Blu-ray.
We haven't yet. I know that – but I've been pressured to, like, the company that handles our DVDs for us is the same – the World Wrestling Network, the same that Evolve and Shine and
right.
a bunch of their other promotions. And they have gone to just doing Blu-ray because they're of the belief that everybody has a Blu-ray player these days. And I'm of the belief that a lot of people have Blu-ray players, but everybody has DVD players. Like, we're not to the point where 100% of the potential audience can play Blu-rays at this point in time. A lot of them can. It's probably like 60 or 70%. But if you only did Blu-ray, like, I mean, it would have to be an only do Blu-ray kind of thing because of the cost involved in getting a, you know, it costs roughly $2,000 to get a DVD pressed and 1,000 units of that DVD. You know, everything involved with the cost of, you know, the case, the artwork, everything. So it's like, if we want to do Blu-ray and DVD, we have to spend double that. So it's
right.
like, it's one or the other, and I'd rather have a format that everyone can play as opposed to a format that maybe 60 or 70% of the audience can play, because then you're limiting your audience. So, like, I'd like to get it to the point where once everybody has a Blu-ray player, we will be switching over to Blu-ray. I mean, then it makes sense. Yeah, we'll start just doing Blu-ray. And, you know, we'll go back and start releasing old footage that was only released in standard def in the past. We'll release that in Blu-ray format in the future, you know, just because we have the ability to. But right now, I would say we're sticking with DVDs for at least another year or two.
There you go.
Until
working.
Until really the,
yeah.
The majority of the audience has the ability to play stuff.
And that's been the PWG thing. It's working for them, and they can sell the tickets, and that's the way, I mean, that's the
yeah.
way I felt about you guys. It's if you continue to get the sales, why mess with something that's working kind of thing. I was looking and
yeah.
did some like I said, I usually don't do a lot of research, but I did come across and just looked at you guys have been out for 12 years, and you've only had 12 champions. Am I right?
Something like that. I haven't counted. But we try to not do the title changing hands on every show or every few weeks kind of thing. So.
Do you think that comes from the old school, from you, then the booking, that you want someone to hold the belt for a long time so that it means something?
Yeah, I mean, that was when you go back and look at wrestling history, what are the champions that meant the most? The ones that had it for a long period of time, right? And, like, honestly, my original plan, the first champion was Sara Del Rey, and we only did it because everybody was like, how come you don't have a champion? Like, because we just started. We need to run some shows, get people used to who all the wrestlers are first, then we'll crown a champion. And so we were running shows for like a year, and then like, all right, we'll do a tournament. And then like, Sara Del Rey's winning it, and then she's going to hold the belt for 7 years. Because I'm like, she's already main eventing all the shows. We don't need to have anybody. It's like, the Sara Del Rey versus the world. That is what Shimmer is. Well, you know, once we got into the thick of things, we decided, all right, it would get really stale if it was just Sarah all the time wrestling everybody. So, you know, we changed it up, but it should mean something. Not everybody should have the chance to be the champion. It should be only the elite few. So we've limited it as much as we can, and if it's only 12 champions, then it's 12 champions. So...
I mean, I agree with you. I like that part about it. I feel if you say then I won the Shimmer title. If you look at the list of women that's won it, it's, you know, it is the elite. So you got Mischief that had
it
for the longest there.
It's less than 12 human beings that have held it. There's a couple of them.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're
champions.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So it's even less than 12. It's like 9. So.
Right. Right. All right, you said you didn't watch NXT, but then you had the three girls that were NXT doing the match the other night. was all former Shimmer girls.
Yes, and originally, wasn't it originally a four-way? And it still would have been four former Shimmer girls until, Ember Moon got injured and was taken out, right?
Right, right, yeah.
So it
how's
been
that? I mean, when you see that happening, how does... Do you go, hey, look, you know, I know what the hell I'm doing kind of thing. I know you you don't get a big chip on your shoulder or walk around like, you know, I'm the biggest, best promoter in the world. But it's got to be some pride there that you was able to use all these girls that seems like the WWE uses right after they work with you guys.
I think they're finally smartening up about who's out there and what can be done. And I would say it's probably no different than if you were to ask Gabe Sapolsky if, like, he's satisfied looking at WWE TV, you know, in the past, you know, 6 to 8 years and seeing Bryan Danielson and CM Punk and now Samoa Joe and Austin Aries and Kevin Steen and El Generico. Like, all these guys, Tyler Black, they're all the main stars on the worldwide brand now. But like Gabe saw that in 2006, 2007, you know, and had all of them in those spots on ROH shows back then. So it's like, I think it's just the quality talent that's out there is eventually going to get noticed and be given opportunities. And it took forever for them to realize the women that are out there. And I don't think that it's any coincidence that the time that they finally realized the women that were out there was after they had hired Sara Del Rey and Sarah Stock to be helping them on the training end of things. And, you know, just having the right people in management positions to recommend talent and saying, hey, like Sara Del Rey knows who's out there on the indies, so she's going to bring in the people that she thinks are going to be able to contribute to doing that sort of thing on a worldwide level. So that's what they did, and it's working out for them. And, you know, everybody's getting signed, which is kind of the problem for me. We have to fill those spots. After people get signed, we need to find new talent and fill those spots. So, but that's gonna always be the case, whether it's women's wrestling or, you know, just men's wrestling. You know, everybody thought that the indies were never going to last after they lost Joe, Punk, and Danielson. But surprise, the indies always find new guys that are going to become B stars. There's always going to be new guys getting trained that are going to start working openers and then get really good and then maybe get a semi-main event here and there and then steal the show and then suddenly that guy's a main eventer. There's always a cycle. So it might be aggravating at times saying, hey, five of our girls just got signed to WWE in the past 6 months. What are we going to do on the next show? But, you know, that's what you have to deal with when you're running independent shows. People are going to leave and move on in their careers. So.
Right. You're involved with AAW, right? Also, right?
Yes. Yes. I do commentary for them. And, I mean, I've been helping them out since 2005. The same day that I quit working for Ian Rotten, Danny Daniels quit working for Ian Rotten. So, like, he was running these shows on the side. So I started working for him immediately after that. So he runs AAW, and it's so yeah. I'm mainly a commentator. I'm not a promoter. I don't promote their shows or anything like that.
And that's one of those promotions that to me is showing that indie wrestling is still alive in the sense that. Right here, I looked at Twitter, and I think I wrote this down. It looks like you guys only have standing room only left for this Thursday show.
Yep, and that, I mean, it's a small building. It's the Irwin Eagles Club, so, like, I think it's supposed to be 250 capacity, but they put, like, 350 in there for AAW shows, wall-to-wall people. And when they have run bigger venues, there's a building in Marionette Park, Illinois, that, like, it's a gigantic room, and we have had standing room only shows in that building with, like, when we've had 675 chairs on the floor and we still have to do standing room. And Logan Square Auditorium in Chicago, 500 people plus standing room. So they are, I mean, absolutely, within the past year, out of the United States-based promotions, independent promotions, they have had the most growth than anyone in terms of live attendances and everything. And they're putting on some awesome shows. Like, for the longest time, they were your typical local independent promotion that used 95% local independent guys, maybe one or two fly-ins every show. And they were doing their, you know, 150, 200 people in attendance because that was the level of talent on the show, and the fans realized that. As soon as they decided, like, they made a conscious choice, okay, what's working for PWG is flying in the best people from all over the world. Let's start doing that and see if Chicago likes it. And they started it, and standing room only crowds. So that's what they're doing now. I mean, there's still a few local guys on the show, but it's like it's kind of more nostalgia act kind of thing. Every once in a while, they'll see, you know, Dan Lawrence come out or whatever, who's, you know, one of the guys that was there from the very beginning. But, you know, for the most part, it's the all-star game of independent wrestling, and that's what the Chicago fans wanted to see. And adding a lot of lucha guys, too, not just indie guys, but, like, Pentagon and Phoenix or whatever their current legal name is.
Yeah, whatever they're called today. I think one of them's called Cat, and the other one's called Guy with Black Mask or something like that. I don't know.
Yes.
They changed it
yes.
a few minutes yes. ago. So. I think that is the model. And, you know, I don't – and the part is that if I ever promote again, and, you know, that may happen, it will be that. I don't – and that's the reason why all these small promotions – and I'm from the Memphis area where – the reason no one draws and you pay $5 to get in the show and you get 25 people there is because you don't have talent on the show. And you have maybe one guy.
But here's the thing, though. Do you think that sort of model would work in that market, though, like where you have a $25 general admission ticket to give them all those plane tickets to cover? Like, it might only work in, like, in Chicago where, like, people realize, okay, it's going to be $20 to park. It's going to be, you know, like,
right.
Well,
they have, the thing about it is they're paying for other things.
Yeah, but, like, I'm just wondering, like, in Memphis, can you charge more than, you know, $10 for a wrestling show, for a small-time wrestling show? Like, even though it might cost you $40,000 to put on the show because you're bringing in talent from all over the place. If the ticket price is too high, because people have always been so used to spending virtually nothing to go and see live wrestling, like, suddenly to expect them to really spend money, I don't know if that would work. Like, I don't know. Until you try. You
well,
don't know.
I may lose my shirt if I ever do it. So who knows? I just, hey, I'll book matches I want to see, and I'll be the big money mark for once. You know, I've always been the guy that broke even with all the local guys. You know, man, sure. We're almost wrapping up, Dave. I'm probably gonna have to bring you on one other time, just talk other crap. But here's something that always goes through my mind, and we do 30 minutes, and I'm just stickler with it because I hate listening to long podcasts. After about 22 minutes, I'm thinking about what I'm going to do next. And the thing that really that I think about when I think of Shimmer, I think, you know, all these other promotions, Smoky Mountain, you name them, the smaller promotions, WWE, ever since the network started, the business has changed totally. And they've went out and bought the libraries of everybody. Has WWE approached you about, I'll give you X amount for every hour and I want your library? Or, you know, or is that something you wouldn't even consider doing?
So there has been, like, the very, very preliminary talks where, like, they asked for an index of what we've got. Like, how many hours for each show? What are the matches? That kind of, like... But there's been no offer made, like.
Right.
There's interest in it, I'm sure. Otherwise, they wouldn't have asked. But like, it's not to the point where they want to buy it right now. I think in the future, maybe, because they know how many. Like, there's probably in NXT alone, there's probably like between 8 and 10 former Shimmer girls that, like, because they're in NXT, those are who they're hoping are going to be their big main women 5 years down the line. So it's like they're going to want early footage of everybody. So like, much like I'm sure eventually they're going to want to just outright buy the entire old Ring of Honor library just to have all that early footage of everybody. I'm sure they want the same thing. I mean, I got a library of shows with, you know, 40 Asuka matches or whatever. So it's like they're going to want footage of everybody. And there's, like I said, they're signing everybody. They just, you know, this tournament that they've got coming up, I'm sure that they're going to be taking a look at a bunch of people and probably signing some of them as well. So it's like they know that there's footage out there that they could put to use in the future. So I would absolutely sell it, but I wouldn't do it cheaply either.
You know, the rumor going around is
these streaming networks that, like, you know, they're offering money for the current shows, like doing a live show, but also for the library. And like, there's no way I would part with the library that I've got unless it's for a large figure of money, because I know that I know what it's worth. I'm not gonna cough it up for $500 a show or something like that. You know what I mean?
You know, that's what I was told. I was told by one person that sold their stuff, it was that the WWE. And hell, they might have been working me. Who knows? But they gave them $500 per hour. So hey, you gotta, you know, if this happens,
I would say that's pretty close to what I've heard as well. So,
yeah,
but I mean, it depends on the content. They're not going to get $500 per hour for like super valuable content. You know, if there's something they really want, they'll spend money on it. I mean, maybe that's
there. You go. Well, you know, since I know no other podcast has ever mentioned that to you, and me being the first, so if this ever goes down, then, you know, I can be in Chicago 4 hours, and, you know, you can take me out to eat or something. I mean, what the hell, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, I'm going to wrap it up right here. It's been a pleasure. I do appreciate you coming on, and I want everyone to go to Twitter and do everything Dave told you to do. Also support Shimmer. If you're a wrestling fan, women's wrestling fan, Shimmer is the one to it's legit. They're athletic. It's real wrestling. So if you guys still like watching the girls wrestle, if you like the NXT stuff, then you guys go to Shimmer. Hey, y'all join us this coming Thursday. That's right. For the Cool Kids Countdown Show. It's going to be 10 things that we love about wrestling. Thanks, everybody. See you next Tuesday here.
Staples knows that when your spreadsheets no longer spread, it's time. When your presentations are not presentable, it's time. And when tensions in the office are high.
No, tensions are very, very high.
It's definitely time. And it's times like these when pros turn to Staples. Staples has a full range of tech services to help your business with everything from data recovery to virus protection. And right now, get $50 off PC diagnostic and repair service so your business won't miss a beat. Staples, it's pro time. Ends 527. Service does not include parts.